your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, brought to you by Freddie Freeman. Patrick Harris here with you alongside Joe Fisher III.
Pame, which I hope is the right way to say let's go in Greek.
We do this bad boy every single Tuesday night. We're happy to have you. This is a World Series edition of the Hot Corner. You know, we get lucky. I feel like every year, Joe, we get lucky that there's a game on when we do this show.
Yeah, it'd just be better if, like, it was 8 o'clock. You know, I feel like that'd just be better for both of us, you know. We'd be here till 10.
We're kind of in the thick of it, though, right now. It's a pretty good point in the game.
I just left the place, so I work on Tuesdays. It's my Friday. And I get done about 4 o'clock, sometimes 5, depending on how, you know, depending on how the day is rolling. And then I leave, and I go to my local watering hole. And full disclosure, have a couple beers, and then I come down here to do the show. And I left today for the first time in a long time saying to myself, God, I hate this stupid radio show. Why do I do this? I just want to sit here and watch the game. So then I found myself secretly rooting for the Yankees to win today.
So I can watch game five
tomorrow at home.
Well, I will say also, pat on the back for you and I. That would, if they go five games, that's what we called. So that is what we called.
We did call Dodgers in five.
Also, I was saying to my buddy when we were doing our podcast is that I was like, you know, while I would like to be right, seeing me be wrong because the Yankees get swept, like, I'm totally okay with that.
There's a Dodger fan at the bar that I was just at who's diehard. He's from L.A., but he lives up here now. He's diehard Dodger. And he said something. Usually I disagree with a lot of the stuff he says, but he said the Yankees deserve to be swept.
Yes.
And I thought that was very apropos.
Yes.
But selfishly, I would like this to go to another game so I can watch game five at my house. And if it's game six and seven, that's on a Friday and a Saturday. And I work Friday nights and Saturday nights.
Is that really how,
like,
this
we'll
would
get
play
to game
out?
One here in about 10 minutes or so. But, like, I didn't get to see the home run because I was working.
Oh.
Like, I saw the reaction,
yeah,
but I wasn't, you know, sitting there watching a television while it happened.
So this last weekend, I was with my girlfriend and her group of friends up at government camp. We were staying at an Airbnb, and I definitely had to, like, withhold my primal sports, like, behavior on Friday night when that home run got hit.
Quote, unquote, Abby Harris, I hate sports.
Dude, it was like...
That's fantastic.
I was, you know, there were some people that cared about the World Series that were watching. There was a, you know, one or two other people. But yeah, when that home run got hit, I definitely had to withhold my reaction to how I would have probably... Are you okay over there? What's going on?
We're good.
Who was turning up that monitor?
Right? Who did that?
God. Come on. Is this a professional radio station or not?
No, not at all.
I know.
Kim's leaving. We're done.
Rhetorical.
We're toast.
But yeah, when that home run got hit, I did not react how I probably would have normally reacted because it was not the vibes for Joe to just be like, oh my God.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Woo! It was definitely like I would have gone some stairs, like, and my girlfriend would have gone stairs, like, are you serious with this guy like, right now?
You brought this guy to the party?
Are you serious? And that happened on Saturday too.
I'd leave him instantly.
That happened on Saturday too with the Ducks game, because there was a certain play in that game where a Iowa safety got absolutely trucked for a touchdown, and I.
You instantly want to be like, you bitch.
Oh, dude.
You suck. Go Ducks.
And I think I let out about as much as I could on that one, too, before, because I was about to go, whoa, baby, let's go. Start going off. And I was just like, oh, my God.
So this guy I was telling you about who's a diehard Dodger fan, I caught game 5 of the NLDS of Dodgers Padres. I was at said bar that I go to before this show, and he was there. And at the end of the game, he's yelling, F San Diego, F all those people that live there. That town is a whole, you know, F Machado, F Tatis. He's just going off.
Saying a lot that San Diego's a whole coming from an L.A. fan.
Yeah, and I guess he reacted the same way on game 1 after Freddie hit that home run.
F San Diego, they're not even in it anymore.
And the bartender and another bartender who wasn't working that plays on the softball team with him had to have a conversation.
Oh, hey, man, boy.
You can't act that way in the bar.
You gotta chill out.
So I'm watching this game tonight with him as the Yankees lead 5-4. And you could tell he was only positives. There was no F New York, F Judge.
That's a good play.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell.
I respect that play.
You could tell somebody got to him. And, you know, I was talking to him, and Jazz Chisholm was kind of like this. I love the childhood undying love for stuff. Like, I think Jazz Chisholm, I love when he is passionate about baseball, but boy, does it become douchebag real quick.
Yeah, he almost got tossed last night.
And this guy's the same way. It's kind of like, hey, man, I love that you love your team. You know, I was at the same bar when Big Christmas hit the home run and David Fry and Fry hit the home run. Like, I was there and I was rooting and hooting and hollering real loud in the bar, but you cannot be disparaging. You cannot be just yelling at people that the city you live in makes you a loser. And that these $300 million guys who are fantastic at baseball in Machado and Frankie and et cetera are not losers, okay? They're great at baseball. It's just baseball. Games go different ways. You never know.
I was going to say, people have been yelling, disparaging our city, Portland, for the last four or five years. So
I know
we're used to.
I got some employees at jobs at my job that are like, yeah, my parents live in Florida. And they're like, I can't believe you live in Portland. You have to get out of there. That place is such an asshole. And like,
my grandpa and my uncle love telling me how bad Portland it is.
They don't live here.
Besides the fact of not even stepping foot in Portland for the last 10, 15
people that
years.
Live in hurricane territory are telling you to move.
Yeah. Dude, you have natural disasters like 6 times a year.
You've got to go stay in a hotel for 2 months out of the year every single year.
My grandpa who lives in Missouri, oh my God, the drugs are out of control in Oregon.
Yeah, because in the Midwest where you ain't got S to do.
You know that show Ozark, Grandpa? Not entirely off base there.
Oh, man. Oakley Doakley. Well, here we are, my friends. We are at game 4 of the World Series. Dodgers are up 3-0. Kind of the theme of this postseason and this show, kind of based on timing and where games are, is a little bit of how we got here and where we are now. And I'd like to continue that trend. So we got a lot going on. The top of the 8 o'clock hour, I'd like to have a coming to Jesus conversation about the Yankees. There are some things that very, very much concern me about this team, and not just based on how they're playing, but just based on what I'm seeing. 7:45, we'll talk about Freddie Freeman and how he is baseball god right now, despite playing on a team with baseball god. There's just a lot to get into, but where I'd love to start is I want to start in game one and how insane and amazing that game was as a baseball fan. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 7:15 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live.
We'll do it live.
From the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Vancouver text line 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. We're also up on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Please join us. We'd love to have you. Here we are, game four of the World Series. Austin Wells just went deep. It's 6-4. Yankees over the Dodgers, but it's the bottom of the sixth, and there's a lot of baseball to go.
Yeah, and there's a whole platoon of Yankees bullpen pitchers that still have to go. So this game is still up for grabs.
And if you know me, you know that I don't love anybody in that platoon, quote-unquote, of Yankee bullpen. But let's kind of start with how we got here, my friends. Let's get into game one, okay? I think what is so amazing about game one, okay, how it ends, like we all know, Freddie hits the walk-off grand slam. It kind of calls back to the Kirk Gibsons of the world, and no one's ever hit a walk-off grand slam, especially when you're down runs. Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff about it. But I think what was so great about it is because it teased us as baseball fans. It told us, this is Yankees-Dodgers in 2024. This isn't Yankee-Dodgers in 81. This isn't Yankee-Dodgers in 60. This is modern-day, big-time studs. Let's make this happen. Who's on the mound in game one? Oh, wow, it's Gerrit Cole, a $300 million pitcher on the bump for the Yankees.
Your favorite.
Against Jack Flaherty, who, to be fair, with all the injuries they have, it was probably the best choice to throw in game one. And that game was just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was I have been so locked in on this series, rightfully so. It's the World Series. It should be happening regardless.
It's baseball, baby.
But as much as my opinion before this series of kind of being in the majority of people like, God, Yankees, Dodgers. Like, I have loved this series, even though it has been in the Dodgers' favor. But also, we've had some great drama. In that game one, though, I mean, you seeing the Yankees go up in the 10th, and then the final 10th inning of the drama that we had with the your guy Aaron Boone's decision.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, this is, I understand walking to load the bases, but also I'm very much like, you already have a guy on first and second. You have a force at first, second, and third. Like, does having a force at home plate really matter all that much in that situation? And it's not like you're walking Betts to get to Gavin Lux. Right.
Even Teoscar Hernandez.
Right. Like, you're walking in like, all right, let's walk Mookie. He's dangerous. We'll take Freddie Freeman instead. Like,
I think that's what was so fascinating.
Like, all right. Like, I guess that's a choice.
I think that's what's so fascinating about that game. Gleyber Torres has a really bad situation there, fielding a ball from the outfield. That game was so fascinating because the Yankees did go up in extra innings and should have just lost that game in regular innings. Aaron Boone makes that insanely, in my opinion, and Joe, you can talk me down. I don't think you are, but you can talk me down if you've got good stats or good talk to talk me down. You're pulling Gerrit Cole. Your $300 million man, who was ace. He was great. Cole was everything you pay him for. And you decided to get out of him to an extremely volatile bullpen. A bullpen that at times looks like a world beater and at times gives up two home runs to guys that play for the Cleveland Guardians that you've never heard of in your entire life. Like, that's how volatile that is. I mean, game one's lost by Aaron Boone. I am not walking an MVP to get to another MVP.
Yeah,
I'm just not. I'm going to take my chances.
Again, I understand the baseball strategy of loading the bases.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. The force at home, I completely get that.
But it doesn't work in this situation to me when you are trying to win a game. And also the pitching move, too, of, hey, let's bring in Nestor Cortez, who hasn't pitched in over a month.
Like, yeah,
that too.
You've got Shohei on second, and you've got Betts on first.
Shohei got popped out.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. So you've got Tommy Edmund on second, and you've got Mookie on first. Those are good base runners.
Yeah, I understand the strategy aspect of a base in baseball, but that is not walking a great player, so that way you can avoid having to go up against another great player.
I talk about this all the time.
It doesn't. It was like, all right, and then literally first pitch, you paid the consequences.
I talk about this all the time. Do you know why Babe Ruth? Okay, I'm not here to disparage Ruth. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. Ruth is an all-time great, but Babe Ruth is as famous as he is because Lou Gehrig batted behind him. So you got to choose who you're going to pitch to. And pitchers chose to pitch to Ruth. They thought, I'd rather pitch to the guy that's going to hit a home run and can't run to first than the guy that can hit a double to the gap, a single to left, or a home run. Because I don't want to face Lou Gehrig, so I'll throw meat at Babe Ruth. The other example that I have is David Ortiz. David Ortiz is in the Hall of Fame because he spent his entire career at Boston batting behind Manny Ramirez. And pitchers said, I don't want to throw to Manny because he can get a double in the gap, a single to left, or hit a bomb.
Manny, the all-time leader in postseason home runs.
So I'm going to take a shot. The guy has like a 14-game hit streak in the World Series. I'm going to take a shot at Ortiz. And that's where Boone failed, was I don't, like, Freeman is as great as he is right there because he's protected by Betts and Shohei. That's why he bats third. Because realistically, I would probably bat Betts first, Shohei second, or like a Tommy Edmund second, and then you get Freeman three and Ohtani four. But that's not how baseball is now. Now it's like, put your best hitter up front. So Shohei's one. Acuna's one. It's Stephen Kwan is one. Like, pick your team. Your best hitter is one. And I think Boone failed that epically by choosing to get to a former MVP who's already won a World Series.
Yeah. To go back on your Gerrit Cole point, bringing him up, there is still a good chance that we can still see him. I mean, we might see him tomorrow, but I mean,
I think we will see him.
I mean, again, you're going on at that point, 4 days rest. Cause Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days rest. I just think game one, it's like, dude, this could be, I mean, we need to come out and get a win with you on the mound. And he went 88 pitches over six innings.
How is he not at 100?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you got to get him at least to 100 and hopefully get him through at least seven. And if he's still cruising and has only given up one, just keep riding him until it really, I mean, I understand you don't want to put dudes on base, but it just drives me nuts, especially in the World Series when you have an arm like that, a pitching talent like that, and you're pulling him after six. And I get that if he was starting to show signs of inaccuracy, he didn't have as good stuff, and you're going through the lineup a third time, ride it. Like,
but it was like he let a guy on.
Live and die.
Like, oh, let's pull him.
Live and die. I would much rather be able to sleep at night saying, you know, I maybe left Garrett Cole in a little bit longer versus I pulled him too early.
Can I chime in too? Because then coming up in game two, which I know we haven't gotten to yet, but I'm even more confused about Boone's management because Sprague pointed this out, I think, yesterday morning. What the hell was Boone doing leaving Carlos Rodon in way longer than Garrett Cole?
Exactly. That's what it doesn't make sense.
The game management from Boone, I mean, we can talk about the Nestor Cortez decision too. It pretty much mirrors the Robbie Ray home run to Yordan Alvarez that happened in what, game two of the ALDS when the Mariners are facing off against the Astros. Nestor hasn't pitched in a month, and he's by far not even close to being your best starting pitcher. Oh, lefty on lefty, though. Gotta go to that. And Boone just got caught up in like that matchup.
And I think it's because Boone got caught up in using Holmes and Weaver and
Gotta get to Holmes and Weaver.
Yeah. Like he was so quick to want to get to the back of his bullpen that it forced his hand. And that's a poor choice. Because now you get to a point where it's like, okay, well, Weaver's given it up and we're tied. Holmes gave it up and now we're tied. So now I'm going into extras and I don't have any of my guys. Boone should be fired for game one alone. I know I sit here and I bag on him, but like, that's what we're talking about. Like, Boone cost this game, okay? Yeah, you can't predict that Freddie's going to hit a grand slam. We'll get to Freddie's grand slam in a moment. You can't predict Freddie's grand slam, but you can't also tee it up for him.
Yeah, that was an easy pitch. You can't throw it down.
Nestor Cortez threw two pitches in the 10th inning. He threw two pitches, and the second was a grand slam to lose the game. I don't get it.
Yeah, and sorry to say, because the Yankees made the World Series, Boone's probably got another like 3-4 years with the team.
And that blows my mind. I was talking to that stupid Dodger fan, and I was like, Dave Roberts is not very good. And he was like, whoa, hold up. And I was like, okay, you hold up. Think for a second. He goes, yeah, he's on his last leg. And I was like, yeah, and if he wins a World Series, he's going to buy himself at least 5 years. And he goes, yeah, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it's again, so crazy to think we're in a World Series with Dodgers and Yankees, and I got two of some of the worst managers in baseball. However, I will say this. I think Dave Roberts has been pretty good this postseason.
I agree. I think that...
I'm eating a little crow on that.
I think his bullpen management has been very, very good. Yeah. I think he's done a great job with that and being able to put in the guys in the right situations. I tip of the cap to him.
And somehow he got Walker Buehler to be the Walker Buehler. Do you know Walker Buehler has 3 World Series starts and his ERA is 0.5?
That's just... I'm laughing because I go in with my meeting with Boss Man Cooley yesterday. And he's like, you know,
resident Red Sox fan.
And he's like, you know, Walker Buehler, you know, when you hear his name, you're definitely like, oh, yeah, he's really good. But if you look at his last few starts and what he did this year, I don't know. He's just not been there. I'm like, you know, he's going to have an absolute gem.
Absolutely smoked
because you said that.
Absolutely.
Like, he's going to have a great outing now. And then sure enough, like I joked to Kurt, I was like, watch him go like 6 innings and 8 Ks, which he didn't go that far. But 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, no earned runs. I'm like, Walker Buehler, you did your job there, bud.
Here's the question, and I know we'll get to Freddie at 7:45.
Just really quickly, Aaron Boone, I do think he actually could still be fired if the Yankees don't win the World Series.
I also agree.
The Yankees are the kind of organization that makes those moves.
When George was alive, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm not talking about Billy Martin hired and fired 4 or 5 times, but like, I didn't think they should have moved on from Girardi when they did. It's not like they really got much better when they went to Aaron Boone at that point. So I think what 3 mismanagement, pitching situations in the first 2 games alone really make you evaluate your manager. And I've been sitting here all year bagging on the Mariners and Scott Service until they fired him. So if I'm sitting there looking at the same thing, like seeing that from the Yankees manager in the World Series, you can't do that in the biggest game of the year.
Without a doubt. And that's why I'm so excited to get to the 8 o'clock hour to get into the state of the Yankees. Let's just get out on this real quick as we wrap up game one. Is Freddie Freeman's home run, is that grand slam, is that going to stand the test of time? And I know we'll get into Freddie like and what he did in game two and three and tonight. We'll get into that at 7:45, but is that home run, does that stand the test of time? I mean, Kirk Gibson's in 88 stands the test of time. And I know that they're both Dodgers. That's not what I mean. But that was a huge home run in a big game that if you go back, the Dodgers swept the A's that year. It wasn't a good World Series. It was just a good game. Does this Freddie Freeman Grand Slam stand the test of time for game one?
I think it will, as long as obviously they finish the job, which I'm very confident they will. But also because it was a game that the Yankees had to have because of who you had starting that game. You lose game one without with Gerrit Cole on the mound. It's just,
and you were up.
It's a, just such a momentum killer and such a punch in the gut losing a game. Yeah. Like you had that game.
That Stanton home run should have been the death knell.
Should have been.
And then before you know it, in a matter of two pitches, as you mentioned, you know, really one pitch. I mean, it was the first pitch of that bat. It's over. Yeah. Just unreal.
One pitch. And that.
I think that's also like the impact of that.
I almost had the dumb button. That that MFN home run was gone before Freddie even made contact with the baseball. That S was gone.
No doubter.
It's like Pujols against Brad Lidge in, what was that, 06. I think it's 06. Like, that MFR is gone.
Even my wife, like, as soon as, like, it hit the bat, she was like, whoa! Like,
yeah.
It was obvious. It was so cool. And yes, I think it's bigger than Kirk Gibson's home run.
All right, let's keep going with this World Series talk. That game set the precedent for what we thought would be the most iconic, insane World Series ever. However, record scratch, this is where we are now. And that's what we're going to get into now. Where we came from after that one to where we are here in four. We'll do that next, but first there's Schultze with sports.
Now, what did I do wrong?
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
That's improbable, but not impossible. It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Coming up in the second hour, we're going to have a real heart-to-heart conversation about the New York Yankees. Plus, we'll get into Freddie Freeman, hero of Game 1, in 15 minutes.
Dude, Yankee fans are hilarious. Such dirt bags, but just real quickly, did you see them trying to rip the ball out of Mookie Betts' hand?
Of course. And that's what I was going to get to. Like,
D-bag.
The setup of this series, and that's also part of what.
Dodgers fans aren't much better, by the way. They were throwing stuff at the Padres. Hilarious.
They once killed a Giants fan.
It's not really relevant here.
We can talk about the Yankee fans being terrible.
But let's not absolve
Dodger fans.
Yeah.
But. You sit here, and the way this series begins in this incredible game one, okay? You've got Jack Flaherty, who pitches okay. You've got Gerrit Cole, who is the cost of admission. He showed up. And we have this amazing, epic game one where Freddie Freeman hits a grand slam to walk it off. Guys, are we not sitting here going, oh, wow, this is it. They built it for us. Like, Joe, you and I sit here and we're like, Dodgers, Yankees. But then after game one, you're like, Dodgers, Yankees? This is going to be wild.
Again, despite this now being a 3-0 series and that, you know, we are... potentially three innings from it being over. If we get a little Dodgers comeback here, what are we, 6-4 right now? I mean, it has been a lot of fun. And I will eat crow on that because I just despise the fan bases so much. But I mean, we have definitely, those first two games, it has been awesome to watch this.
It has been awesome. And I think that's what was so amazing. When Freddie hit that ball, I remember saying to myself, you know, I wasn't jazzed about Dodgers-Yankees because I don't think the Yankees are very good. I think they got a couple guys, but I don't think as a whole they're very good. That, you know, I think the Padres and I think the Mets are better than the Yankees, or at least the Mets are equal to the Yankees. But I think the Padres are better than both the Yankees and the Mets. That I was a little sad that that NL series might have been the two best teams in baseball. But after that first game, I'm like, okay, buckle up. Here we go. And I'll tell you what. After watching Game 2 and Game 3, boy, this series looks not very fun to me. I'm just being honest. I was kind of out on it to begin with, but after Game 1, it was like, whoop, I'm wrong. And you know me, I'm more than happy to be wrong. And I went, whoop, I'm wrong.
I don't think it was just you that was wrong, dude.
Yep, I think a lot of us were.
MLB.
Yeah, it was like, whoop, holy goodness.
Pumping all these promos out. AM570 down in Los Angeles has been, like, losing their minds, having radiogasms, excited about what they could be producing over the next few weeks. But it's literally like, oh, three games, and it's pretty much over.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so sad is that game one was so great. And then watching two and especially three. I mean, I turned the game off last night. The wife and I moved to the front room and started listening to records and talking about our kids and smoking pot, you know, because I was like, it's a seven. Like, this is done.
Well, I mean, game two, I'll defend a little bit. It got a little interesting at the end there.
But that's what I mean. But getting interesting at the end is not indicative of how the series is going.
But also, with that being said, is like, Yoshi showed up in that game.
Yoshi was amazing.
Which was a big, you know, I mean, throughout this whole entire season, he's had a good season, but definitely not like...
Missed a big chunk from injury.
Right. But also, it hasn't been a regular season, a postseason where it has justified his paycheck or his hype coming into this team.
Correct.
So to see him in game two lock them down like he did... And the Yankees just struggled to get any hits on the board.
I think you're alluding to the right thing here is that it has been amazing to watch the Dodger players be locked in.
Yeah.
Whether it's Freddie, Yoshi, Walker Buehler last night, I thought was just incredible. And timely hits and defense from, you know, Teoscar Hernandez last night or, you know, Freddie Freeman and all that kind of stuff, that this series is cool if we break it down, but it's one-sided. Like, outside of Gerrit Cole, who on the Yankees are you looking at outside of maybe Volpe tonight with the Grand Slam? Who are you looking at like, yeah, you've really come? Maybe Stanton? Maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, so Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo showed up. Woohoo.
It's been fascinating for us to watch, but it's all one-sided. It's all because we're watching one team that's built to be great and another team who's pretending to be built to be great.
Yeah, this is why coming into this series, I think you and I were on the same page there as far as these offenses and these lineups. It is two completely different, like, it is a naturally beautiful hot girl and then one that is just doused in makeup and plastic surgery.
Without a doubt.
So, like, that, and that to me was saying it's like the Dodgers, we know they're good. We know, like, one through
we
nine.
We knew they were good.
Even the bullpen. It's like, I would much rather take that bullpen. And then the Yankees, it was like, all right, so you got, you have Glaber. Okay. Okay.
Gleyber Torres has been great this series.
He has, but also
has a really bad error at second.
And when you look at, again, lineups 1-3, 1-4, like, yeah, no, Gleyber is the weak point of the Yankees 1-4. And then it's like, all right, and then you've got, Soto, obviously amazing. Judge, amazing. Not amazing in these playoffs, though. And God, we could spend two segments at least on what's been going on with him.
We'll talk about him at the top of the 8 o'clock.
And then you got Stanton, who is overplaying expectations.
Without a doubt. Stanton has been the best player for them this entire postseason.
And then after that, it's just right off of the
cliff. But I think it was, I can't remember on the Fox broadcast if it was A-Rod or Jeter that said it. I think it was A-Rod who was talking about the Yankees had an easy path to the World Series. They played Kansas City, who was spent. They played ahead of expectations. You know, they were, like I've said on the show a thousand times, they remind me of the Astros in 2015. Ahead of schedule, good young core. You've got a superstar in Bobby Witt. And by the time they got to the Yankees in the ALDS, they were spent. They were just done. Then the Yankees play Cleveland, who got out of a big series with Detroit, who, again, is also another team ahead of schedule. And Cleveland crapped all over themselves in game one and two. Base running errors, fielding errors, not playing Cleveland baseball. And the Yankees got up two games. And then Cleveland made it interesting in three and four, but the Yankees were able to get out of that. Now they're here playing a real team. And they look amateur. And I think what's so sad about that is the way that game one stood out was it looked like buckle up. It looked like buckle up. We're here for six or seven games of some of the most high-end, high-intensity baseball, and that just hasn't happened.
No, it is unfortunate because, I mean, even last week when we were like throwing out predictions, it was like, dude, yeah, I would want this to go to seven games. I would love for this to be an epic series. But
of course, we hate both these teams, so they might as well beat the hell out of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might as well go seven and have somebody walk it off.
Yeah, but again, it's just,
are you not entertained?
Yeah, it is not played out that way because there is one team that is just better. Plain and simple. It was to me, it just wasn't that hard of a, I don't know, maybe if the Yankees do this, it's like, no. There is one team that is markedly better, and if we are here next week and we're saying that the Yankees pulled off the impossible and come back, then I will eat the biggest bowl plate buffet of crow possible.
But so will I.
It's just,
I will let my dog poop in a bowl and I will eat it.
No, don't air. Stop. Don't trick that. Don't say it. We're
I
not.
Would never do that.
Not, well, good job adding that, but they're not going to add that to the clip that goes circulating around Twitter.
I don't live in Alabama, okay? I'm all right. Yeah, and that's how it is. And keeping that in mind, you know, Shohei and Mookie, Shohei specifically, I mean, Shohei's hurt, so I give him a little bit of a pass. And Mookie's kind of been here but not here, etc. There's one guy that's really doing it for him, and that's where I want to get to next. Let's talk about the most obvious elephant in the room to ever exist in the history of Major League Baseball, and that's Freddie Freeman. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to have a real heart-to-heart about the New York Yankees. Plus, also, the only thing on planet Earth that could get me to stop watching baseball. Plus, fair or foul at the bottom of the hour.
Soccer?
No, I watch a ton of soccer, and that doesn't stop me from watching baseball. What's great is I watch European, so it's over before anybody over here starts.
Yeah, you got to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch a game.
Well, I don't do that. I'm not going to lie. Even when my team plays, I'm like, I hope we beat Crystal Palace today. I'm not getting up for that.
Let's go, Reds.
But let's get here. I don't know. You know how when you watch World Series, NLCS, ALCS, Super Bowls, NBA Finals, like, take out Super Bowls. NBA Finals is great because it's multiple games. You can kind of tell, you know, you can kind of know who's on the trajectory to be the Finals MVP in the NBA. You know, it's Giannis. It's, you know, it's LeBron. It's Steph, you know. And every once in a while, they throw you a curveball where it's Andre Iguodala. Or, you know, Ray Lewis is the Super Bowl MVP for the Ravens when they win. Every once in a while, you get that little thing. Boy, my friends, I don't know if I've ever seen a World Series in my entire life that has not screamed who the MVP is harder than this one.
Yeah, I'd have to go back. I mean, maybe since Mad Bum.
Yeah, maybe Mad Bum, but it took us... Took us to game six, game seven to realize that.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm done with game two, and I've decided the MVP of this thing.
What about Corey?
Corey, you throw our fans. It's somewhere over here.
I get
and spit on that thing.
That's not Corey's ear.
Close enough.
Yeah, just looking back. I mean,
you see guys, and it's always like they did something great in game one and game three and made a good defensive play in five. And the series was over in six. So you're kind of like, yeah, you know, like Corey Seager last year, once he hit that home run in game five, game six, then we knew. But you didn't necessarily know leading up to it. This, after game one, you're like, okay, Freddie hits the bomb, a hero, whatever. Doesn't necessarily make you the World Series MVP. Game two, he hits a home run, and I go, uh-oh, I think I know the World Series MVP. Game three, you're like, oh, I definitely know. And here we are in game four. First time through the lineup, boom, gone. And that home run that Freddie hit today is only gone in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Well, so congrats, Yanks. Congrats on your short portion right. It cost you a World Series.
Well, maybe not yet.
Maybe not yet. Never count them out. Look, let me tell you, the Yankees are the biggest comebacks I've ever seen.
So I want to start calling Freddie Freeman like Mr. Millennial October, because I'm not sure you can take away the original Mr. October moniker from Reggie Jackson. But
and Derek's got Mr. November because of 2001.
Exactly, and he's had the most games, I think, played in the postseason. Mm-hmm. He should have that moniker. But I think of Reggie, and how do you quantify success in the World Series, because he hit the three home runs in a game, I think it was 77, to lead the Yankees to that World Series win, so that got him that nickname. But then you look at Freddie Freeman hitting one every freaking game for the Dodgers, I'd say that qualifies him Mr. October as well. Which is more clutch? It's not like the Yankees, they had to be in this position, right? Like Reggie brought them back and got them that win when they were kind of up against it, whereas Freddie Freeman just got the Dodgers sailing from the start. I know he hasn't had to like clutch up in the same way when they're down, but which is better? How can you quantify the greatness here?
I think you've got a great point here, Jordan. And I will tell you that I think Freddie Freeman's performance in this World Series is more impressive than Reggie Jackson. I do. I think this performance in this World Series might be all time. Okay, this World Series is kind of been a little bit of a bust, you know. If the Yankees do win tonight, as there's one out in the eighth, in the bottom of the eighth, if the Yankees do win, I mean, Flaherty's going to throw tomorrow. And if Flaherty sucks, Yamamoto's going to throw the next. Like, I still love the Dodgers in this series. But what that creates is that creates a game five for Freddie Freeman to hit another home run. Okay, when you're looking at a team that has Shohei Ohtani, who is a two-time, soon-to-be three-time MVP, you got Mookie Betts, who's the only player in my lifetime to be a regular season MVP and a World Series MVP in the same season, who got traded for that douchebag in left field in New York from a different team. You've decided that you don't like Freddie Freeman, and Freddie Freeman has decided to say, hey, hold my beer while I punch you in the face.
Yeah,
this is insane what he's doing. Joe Carter's home run for the Blue Jays, okay? David Freeze, like, mad bum, okay? Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, like
Puckett for the Twins.
Puckett, that is the all, you know, Bill Mazeroski, like the you know, Don Larson in a World Series. Like, these are the greatest things we've ever seen in World Series history. And I think Freddie is there. And not only do I think he's there, I think he's up there as one of the greatest World Series performances we've ever seen.
Now, granted, this is over combined World Series. He is the first player in MLB history to hit a home run in six consecutive World Series games.
He did that on a team he doesn't even play for anymore.
Can you?
And they won.
This is funny, though. This is a trivia question that actually I have a little calendar on my desk, Sports Goats calendar, and it gives me a new
new great thing a goat did on that day?
Yes. Can you name the only player to have five straight home runs in a single World Series, though?
I believe the answer is George Springer.
That is correct. Oh, thank you. Look at you.
Thank you. Good love job. Baseball history.
Yep.
Baseball and World War II are the best histories you could ever follow.
Oh, but actually, I see here that they're they are giving three of those to the garbage can. So,
well, yeah, yeah, they're cheaters.
At least
three. So the answer is Freddie Freeman.
Yes, yes.
Well, he broke that tonight, so at least we don't have to let Springer.
Well, again, Springer has the most consecutive in a single World Series by having five straight games.
Yeah, but that's got an asterisk next to it.
Exactly. Yes.
Gone.
Looking at this list of World Series MVPs, I mean, who could forget Steve Pierce's 2018 with the Red Sox?
Steve freaking Pierce.
Former Orioles Steve Pierce. Looking at some of these, it is really hard to think of, again, most dominant, most memorable, quickest. Like, after three, four games, you're like, that dude's getting it. I mean, unless it's a sweep. I mean, again, I go to Madison Bumgarner, but, again, that was over a seven-game series.
See guys that are like, yep, that's it.
Like within, yeah, like you said, two, three games of the series, just adamantly putting their flag in the ground saying that, yeah, I got this.
Last year, I was rooting for Corey Seager. I like Corey Seager as a baseball player. I find him really solid defensively, and he's a great hitter. Now, unfortunately, injuries have kind of caught up to him in these old days. I felt it was stupid that the Dodgers didn't sign him. And so I was rooting for that narrative of him to be the World Series MVP last year, because there are not many people, if any, that are World Series MVPs on different teams in different leagues. So I thought that'd be fun to see as a story. But he didn't become that until the last game of that series.
Right.
Because he hit that huge home run, and that's how he won the MVP. Now, here we are. The Yankees might win this game. And I'll tell you what, I said this earlier. If the Yankees come back and win this World Series, which will not happen, I still think Freddie Freeman's the MVP. You know, give me some Jerry West up in these vibes. Give me some 2002 Barry Bonds,
some
all right?
Connor McDavid the Angels, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, the Angels won the World Series in 2002, and they gave the MVP to Troy Glaus. The answer is Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was the MVP of that World Series. I don't care if they lost.
Can you give me the MVP of the World Series that the White Sox won?
Oh,
the answer is Jermaine Dye.
Yes, Patrick is on fire tonight.
Well, Jermaine was really good.
Let's go.
Guy played like solid ball with the A's for years before he went over the
White
Sox.
Who's the World Series winner for the Braves in 21?
It wasn't Acuna.
MVP.
Was it Freeman?
Do you know this?
It's Jorge Soler.
It is. Oh,
of course it is.
I have the list in front of me, so yeah, I can't say.
MVPs very regularly. The Giants... Okay, the Giants, three World Series, okay? It's Juan Uribe, Edgar Renteria, that son of a bitch who I absolutely hate because of 97, and Mad Bum. Mad Bum was obvious.
Matt?
No, it's Pablo Sandoval.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. See? So it's like it's always some like random guy. It's never the best guy.
2010 was Renteria. 2012 was Sandoval.
The NLCS MVP is Tommy Edamame. And that's how these things go. And in this series, it's Freddie Freeman without an absolute doubt. He's a superstar, a former MVP, and the reason that they are completely crushing the Yankees in this series.
All right, last one, and I would love to set this off with a bang. Yeah, the 2007 Red Sox.
Bill Miller.
No.
JD Drew.
No.
No. It's Derek Lowe.
No, it's not.
It's not Minkiewicz. He kept the ball though.
Although
no, that's 04.
Derek Lowe.
We're not on 04. What'd you say? 07?
2007. Derek Lowe.
Oh, it's Kevin Youkilis.
No.
No? Oh, damn. I don't
wait for
think.
My hint, and I don't even know if you're gonna get it with this. For his last name is also in this person's last name.
Wait.
Lowe.
Is it Ellsbury? No.
It's spelt that way too. Lowe.
I don't got it.
Mike Lowell.
Oh, Mike Lowell,
third base. The Marlins guy. Friend.
Yeah.
He's on TV. He's a good commentator on TV.
I forgot about Mike
Good
Lowell.
Pundit.
2007. All right. You couldn't go undefeated tonight. But
sorry.
Again, I saw that
one. I just pulled out Jermaine Dye and Jorge Soler.
Again,
my bad.
I saw that one. I was like, dude, if he gets this one, I swear to God.
Who got the last out in the Yankees World Series of 96? The answer is Ruben Sierra. Do you know that? Do you know that?
96 World Series MVP? John Wetteland.
Yeah, Wetteland was he was Mo. Mo was a rookie.
Yep.
And Mo was his setup guy. Yeah, Wetteland was phenomenal in that.
And then three seasons after that, Mo wins the MVP of the World Series.
Yeah, and then he gave it up in 01.
How fun.
All right, coming up in the second hour, speaking of Yankees in Wetteland and Mo, we need to have a serious conversation about the New York Yankees. And we'll do that next. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase. Oh, there's stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You missed in the first hour. You can download that, the Fan Podcast, at 10ofthefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Gleyber Torresify.
Yeah, you selfish bastard. I hope you are...
The home run stroker.
You're happy with yourself, and you're getting what you wanted.
Gleyber Torres just hit, what was that, a grand slam?
No, it's three-run home
run. Three-run home run to put the Yanks up 10-4, bottom of the eighth. This game kind of seems gone.
That was after my update. I did not miss it.
It's all right.
Literally just happened.
Look, dude, we are not here. We do not
keep receipts on this
show. How dare you? About you and your update. We keep receipts on everything else.
I know you guys don't, but I know the listeners do.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, dude, the texts are flying in. You are getting ripped apart,
you late
Jordan.
You idiot, man, piece
you loser.
Of
do
no,
you even
kidding.
Watch baseball?
No. Thank you.
So, yes, to Joe's point, I am getting my wish. I have worked every day of this World Series so far. And if the Yankees do pull this out 10-4, bottom of the eighth, I feel like they will. I will get game five. And I'm going to watch this game on my couch at home.
That's
probably
cool.
Watching the Dodgers win because they'll throw Flaherty tomorrow, I assume.
What is this, pub beer?
5 o'clock game?
I will not be drinking pub beer.
No, will you be drinking during this?
Oh, okay, I mean, okay. I
thought that's what he said, too.
I thought so, too. Jordan,
pub beer is awesome. Okay.
Pub beer is great. It's absolutely phenomenal. I don't drink it because I am sober.
I think in the fridge, there's some Mexican pub beer.
Cerveza.
Yeah, ooh. Is this a thing?
Pub cerveza.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yes, Schultzy, I drink for all occasions when it's past 4 o'clock.
Atta baby. Yeah, I got a highlight.
Although Liverpool's on at noon tomorrow, so I might,
get it going a little early, huh?
Dude, look at that ump. The ump just got drilled in the face by a pitch.
Good, he's been terrible today.
And then he just, I think you're a few seconds behind me. Watch what he does here. Oh, man, you'll have to see it. He just bounces a couple of, and then fires a extra ball back at the pitcher, like
just ready to go. It's World Series.
Oh, you can tell he's hurting.
I got to be on top of this.
Too. Yeah.
Well,
he
his
is.
Strike zone has been atrocious tonight, so
agreed.
Maybe he deserves to be hit in the face.
Maybe,
here we go.
Maybe he'll be better after.
Hey-ya!
This. Yeah.
He's like, ho, ho, hey, we're good.
Watching
we're good.
Him fire this thing.
Woo, yeah, baby!
I'm good. No, I'm fine.
It's like, pay no attention to those missed strike calls that I didn't do earlier.
What if he's like the best umpire ever after that hit?
But he's not. You saw this.
No, like, getting it after hit by the baseball.
Oh, then he just becomes number one.
Knocks a couple cells loose where he's like, you know what? Actually, I can read the ball a lot better.
We got Fair Foul coming up in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour as Soto has just hit a double. This thing looks looks over.
Guys, save some hits for tomorrow. You're going to need them.
Well, Fair Foul at the bottom of the hour. And speaking of Juan Soto, we'll talk about him in about 10 minutes. But I want to have an honest, clean, constructive conversation about the New York Yankees.
They suck.
My friends, I'm worried about this team.
As they score 10 runs. But a big glaring issue is the dude who is at bat right now. And, I mean, among other things.
I am worried about this team. Now, I'm not worried because I'm not a fan. I'm worried because when the Yankees are good, it's good for baseball. Whether they lose in the ALCS, lose in the World Series, or win the World Series, it's good to have the Yankees around. It's a big fan base.
Debatable.
Historical, 28 titles, excuse me. The Yankees, it's nice to have. What I have learned from this World Series, as I sit here and I bang on Aaron Boone as a manager, and how I think Cashman has probably kind of outlived his time as a baseball GM. What I have learned from the last four games of this Yankee team is there is what appears to me zero leadership, zero calm, zero poise, and this team lacks everything I've ever seen about a New York Yankee team, okay? Luis Gil is on the mound tonight, right? And I would argue that Luis Gil looked scared in a lot of his pitches, okay? He's a rookie. All right, I get it. Hey, lay off him. He's a rookie, you know? Like, it's his first World Series start. Okay, cool. Paging Andy Pettit. Paging El Duque. Paging Mariano Rivera. I think as much as I love Aaron Judge and as much as I think he's a great baseball player and the right guy to be the star for the Yankees, this team needs Derek Jeter or Don Mattingly or Thurman Munson more than I've ever seen in my life. I feel like the culture, how this team operates, is broken. And you can see that by games 2 and 3. We all knew they were going to win tonight. They knew they were going to win tonight. The Dodgers knew the Yankees were going to win tonight.
Yeah, that's why they have this Honeywell guy as the sacrificial goat.
Because they know it's 11-4 in the bottom of the 8th. I think this Yankee team, Jazz Chisholm, I love his childhood love of the game, but I hate his arrogance, cockiness when he's not playing well. I just think this team really lacks somebody to step up and be a leader. There's no Paul O'Neill. There's no Scott Brosius. There's no Bernie Williams. And there's no El Capitan in Derek Jeter. Judge can have the armband, but I don't think this team acts that way. And that's crazy to think because they got guys like Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo.
Well, that was who I was.
Was
go
that
to.
Guy for the Cubs?
But
where are you?
But also, he doesn't really have a leg to stand on with how he's played the last couple of
because
years.
Because he's washed.
Yes.
Because he's completely spent.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. I'll speak to Jordan. I'll speak to Schultz's Mariners right now. Who was one of the best leaders in that clubhouse years ago? Nelson Cruz.
Yep.
Washed. Over the edge, but could hit 30 bombs and made everyone else play better. There's nobody like that on this team. Gerrit Cole, I feel like, is on an island. He's like, I'm a $300 million pitcher. I played for my childhood team. I do what I do. The hell's wrong with you guys? I just think culture in New York is broken.
And that
shows because it's now coming to the fans. That guy, those two guys grabbing Mookie Betts and ripping a ball out of his glove that he's clearly caught. It's desperate. It's embarrassing.
Hey, get those guys in the dugout. They clearly want to win. They're willing to do whatever it takes, including getting kicked out of Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, you just spent $2,000 to touch Mookie Betts and watch Freddie Freeman hit a two-run bomb.
And be nationally embarrassed.
Like,
I don't know. I think it was pretty funny.
But I think some of that, now, Jordan, you mentioned earlier, Yankee fans, Dodger fans, like, they're not the best fans in the world. The Bleacher Creatures are really awful, and Dodgers fans once killed a guy in a parking lot. But I think the Dodgers are not representative of their fans. The Yankees right now, like, who's really leading this club? Okay? Judge has struggled in this World Series. And we're not hearing from Judge. We're hearing from Boone and Soto and Stanton about how Judge will be fine. He'll get out of this. He'll kick out of this. And I think it's great that they're saying that. But if this is 1998 and the Yankees are down 3-1 in a series, Jeter is at the front of the podium saying, it's on me. And Andy's got to pitch better. And tomorrow we trust Roger to go out there and do something. And I don't think that exists here. And I don't know if that's a Cashman Steinbrenner thing, but it's definitely a Boone thing.
Well, just like Rizzo, a lot of these guys don't have a whole lot to stand on. Like, you know, besides, again, Judge, which right now at this point, he doesn't have a leg to stand on because he can't hit and do squadouche in the playoffs. I mean, Giancarlo really doesn't have a leg to stand on because he's just now producing, seemingly, after getting paid millions and millions of dollars.
I heard Brandon Sprague this morning say that Jordan Schultz gets to home faster than Giancarlo Stanton does last night.
That's a low blow. That's uncalled
but
for.
I believe all three of us get to home plate faster than Giancarlo
Stanton. Slow. I'm not that slow.
Well, I can run a 5-2-7-4.
Take it up with Sprague.
I will. Well, he's a runner. I'm not.
Keep that receipt.
Will do.
Yeah, but he's a skinny little bitch.
Soto doesn't have a leg to stand on because he might not even be on this team next year.
But Soto has at least been here and performed and won it.
But again, he's not like... He is... Yes, he is a Yankee in...
But he's not that Jeter, Bernie, Scott Brosius, David Cohn.
Even though beyond that, there's like a list of mediocre guys that the Yankees were full of. They were like having a surplus of guys like Nick Johnson on their roster back in the day. World Series winner Todd Zeal was filling out the back of their roster.
That's how it was built.
So many of these guys had experience. Enrique freaking Wilson, David DeLucci, Kareem Garcia, Nick Swisher, all these guys with attitude. Joe freaking Girardi. I mean, you just, okay, Alfonso Soriano, like having his best like ever. Like second baseman rookie season for the Yankees in history, that might have helped a little bit. And that, along with all of the development of talent they had in the 95, what, to 2004, 5, 6, after Cano came up, since then, where's their development been? So they were getting much better, like major leaguers for 5 through 9 in their lineup, and they were actually able to develop talent. Outside of Judge, where's Jason Dominguez? Where's Austin Wells in the playoffs besides the home run he just hit today?
Yeah.
Where's anybody from their minor league system?
That's what I mean. And I don't even know if it's necessarily a system, but it's like the Yankees are going to go into next year, and they're obviously their focus is on Soto, and they're going to need another starter because Rodon is a disaster, and Nestor Cortez has become a disaster. And Luis Gil is too volatile because he's too young. But are the Yankees going to actually address this culture issue? Or are they just going to spend money free willy-nilly? Because what I'll give the Dodgers credit for, even though they're spending, you know, $2 billion on this lineup, do you have anything negative to say about Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Teoscar Hernandez, Will Smith,
Max Muncy,
Kike Hernandez,
Tommy Edman.
Do you have anything negative to say about these guys? I don't.
No, because they're producing.
Because they're producing, and they look like culture guys. Who is the culture guy on the Yankees? They want it to be Jazz Chisholm.
Yep.
And if that's my culture, I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.
Well, and again, making a trade to get Verdugo, like... I don't want that to be a culture guy either.
Exactly. And then you got Judge, who's great, but he's kind of quiet.
Yeah.
He's kind of soft.
Yeah, that's a problem, especially when you're struggling. I feel like it really starts to kind of show glaringly when you're having issues at the plate. You can't really answer questions. You can't really say anything publicly because you're quiet.
The best player on the Yankees in this series has been Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
And not a leader.
Yeah, again, it's just hard.
I think they're in big trouble.
Well, it's just, again, we are literally comparing them to, you know, late 90s, early 2000s Yankees, which
is... that's their fault. That's what they built.
I get it. I get it. But that is a standard where there are some teams, franchises in all sports where there is a standard. I mean, you look at, just to do, I hate doing it, but completely different sport comparison. I mean, Ohio State wants to probably get rid of Ryan Day because he only wins 10 wins.
The Dallas Cowboys, like, they're failing epically.
Like, the Yankees, they're extremely happy to be back at the World Series, but them not winning a World Series every single year to them is a problem. Them only winning one series.
Just like Ryan Day at Ohio State.
World Series since 2001 is a big problem.
If Dan Lanning brings a natty to Eugene, that buys him... that buys that program 10 years.
But Ohio State not being in the natty for 5 years, that's a problem.
Kansas City won a World Series in 2015, and they're cool with that. The Cubs, the Chicago Cubs, won a World Series for the first time in 100 years in 2016, sold off everyone the next year, and Cubs fans are like, yep, 16, let's go, baby. I won't forget 16. But the Yankees, you built this. You put it on yourself. And the future is not good. If I'm Juan Soto, I'm actually not interested in coming back to the Yankees. I think they have too many problems. And that's where we want to go next. New news on Juan Soto. And I swear to God, if this happens, I'm not watching baseball. Hot corner, today the fan. Two outs, top of the ninth. 11-4 Yankees. Damn, run out away from this game being over, which is fine.
I wanted to fool any of our listening audience out there. Oh, my God. The Dodgers tied it.
Can you believe that Freddie Freeman hit a... let me do some quick...
seven-run home run?
A seven-run home run?
How's that possible?
Holy
I don't know.
God, well, Dodgers win.
Well, Tommy Lasorda came down from heaven, and he filled the bases with extra Dodgers.
So. They just named Freddie Freeman the World Series MVP of this year, next year, the year after, and the year after that.
Look, Vin Scully's marrying Pam Anderson in the postgame ceremony.
Fat Joe is running around dead.
Fat Joe looked like an idiot yesterday. Yesterday.
So this game's probably over. So we'll see game five tomorrow, which will be Garrett Cole, Jack Flaherty, if all things are continuing. And Yankee fans, as they're cutting to Yankee fans in the stands, they're like talking trash, like, we're better than you. Go back to the podcast and listen to the last 18 minutes Joe and I ranted about this Yankee team being broken.
I do find it funny as the Yankees get the final out and the series is now 3-1. Game five tomorrow. But
my mother just texted me, Yankees are going to wish they kept some of those runs for the next game.
Hey, your mom and I were on the same wavelength. Save those hits. But also, I do enjoy seeing Yankee fans have this much joy and optimism and hope and happiness on their face to get crushed tomorrow.
To know that a Wednesday night is going to be the worst day of their week.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That being said, Juan Soto, there are new rumors that the Dodgers are interested, and that's the final out. This game's over, 11-4 final. As a third out in the top of the ninth is gone. There are rumors that the Dodgers are interested in signing Juan Soto. And for the sake of everything, I think the coolest thing about that is if the Dodgers were to sign Juan Soto, is we could sit here and talk about how you construct that batting order. Like, you bat Juan Soto second, right? But where do you put Mookie? Oh, okay, I'll just put Mookie first. Well, where do you put Shohei? Three? Well, so Freddie's four? Where do you put Shohei? Like, that would be fun. But I will tell you what, if the Dodgers somehow are able to sign Juan Soto, I'm out. I'm out on baseball.
Well, I mean,
this show,
quite
this
frankly,
show,
it kind of seemed like that at this last offseason.
This show will absolutely revert to this.
Well,
that's where we'll go. If Juan Soto goes to the Dodgers, I'll do it for you one more time. This will be the intro
hot
to the
corner
show.
Three.
The hot corner. And
on
I'll
the
sit
court.
Here and rant to you about Klay Thompson being the best 3-and-D I've ever seen in my life. Again, do I need to show you one more time?
Oh, God. God, that hits so hard.
Yeah, it does. Man. It's great. This can't happen, right? Soto is Yankees or Mets.
No.
Right?
No, it's not going to happen. And I'm going to take Jeff Passan's word for it because I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what podcast, what show he was on. But like he just they asked him about this and he just was like, do you believe Dodgers have a chance at signing Soto? He's like, no. And then they're like, well, why do you think? And he's like, and then he elaborated, but how quick.
But at first he was just, no.
Yeah, just how quick. Like, he just went straight to the no, gave no explanation. I'm like, well, that pretty much says it right there.
And the commentators are like, oh, damn, we thought he was going to say something more.
Well, you know, I think. And
you know, the Dodgers never count him out.
And he, like, started to kind of do that, but it was, like, his natural instinct for him to just be like, no.
Yeah, oh, look, it was, I understand wanting to win World Series. But
it was the Michael Kay show. And there was reports, Jeff, that Dodgers will go hard after Juan Soto. Do you believe that to be true? He's like, nope.
There is no way you can spend $1.6 billion on two players.
It's not going to happen. And I get that they deferred.
You want to win World Series and how that like sells jerseys and tickets and TV, all that. I get it. $1.6 billion for two players, assuming Soto gets $600 million. That can't be a financially good decision. Even Donald Trump thinks that's a bad business move.
Do they care, though? I don't think they give a rat's ass.
I think at that point you care.
But
I agree with you, Jordan, but I think at that point you have to care. Knowing that Yamamoto's getting $300 million, knowing that Betts is getting $400 million, knowing that Freeman's getting $300 million, and Shohei's getting $700 million, and Glasnow's gonna get paid too. There's no way you can justify another $600 million.
What if Soto defers just like Ohtani does?
Well, I mean, if he does do that, then
the Dodgers are going to be like.
But I don't think Soto will. I don't think Soto will because
I think he wants his money now.
I think he wants his money now, and I think he deserves his money now.
I want my money, and I want it now.
The reason I don't think he will defer is because Shohei can defer because there are reports out there that Shohei's made $100 million this year.
Oh, yeah, his endorsements are...
And but Soto doesn't have that.
He can have something.
He can have something, but he's going to have like $15 million something.
So payroll...
Not $85
million
something.
Oh, poor guy's got to live off of $25 million for a season instead of $75 million.
But to Joe's point, I want my money and I want it now.
I get it. Their money total, now is more valuable than money tomorrow.
Their total cap allocations for next year already is $250 million, which, I mean, you know, you had another... 40, 50 onto that.
I also think there's part of it that it's one thing to be in the top five of spending. Okay, if you're the Mets, you're the Yankees, you're the Dodgers, etc. You know, the Rangers spend a ton of money, but they got a World Series out of it. It's another thing if the second highest payroll in baseball is 285 and number one is 450. I think GMs don't want to be that guy, even if you can. But I'll tell you what, if Soto signs with the Dodgers, I'm out. I'm out of here.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, I think that they probably need to get an arm or two.
That's what I think. Well, who knows, man? They got Gratterall coming back, and they got May coming back, and Glasnow coming back. Like, let's not forget, this starting rotation should be Glasnow 1, Yamamoto 2, Kershaw 3.
Well, no.
In theory, just indulge me. In theory, Kershaw 3 and number 4 should be Bueller. May. And they never trade for Flaherty at the deadline. Number 5 honestly should be Julius Urias.
But also,
if he's not a POS human being.
Keep in mind the trend of Dodgers pitchers' arms falling off.
That's the truth.
Every year.
That's the truth. Every year.
That's why also I'm like, it probably wouldn't hurt for you to spend that money on a quality starter.
But are you going to go get Corbin Burns and pay him $30 million a year?
Well, it's not $50 million for Juan Soto. So, I mean.
That's true. 60. Juan's going to cost 60.
I mean, yeah, 50 over.
Soto's 600.
Well, 50 over 10 years. Like 50 per year, so 500. That's a $500 million contract.
Yeah.
So you're saying he's going to get 50 over 8? Or I mean,
he's gonna,
60 per year over 8?
I think he might get.
Well, that's not a $500 million contract.
I think he might get 64 over like 13. Jeez. Someone's going to lock him up that he's there forever. Like Bryce Harper's deal is, I believe, $325 for 13 years. So in theory, honestly, Bryce is probably underpaid.
Do you realize a $64 million?
But he's locked up for 13 years.
So you're saying that he's going to sign for a 13-year contract for a total of $832 million?
Potentially, he's 27 years old.
No, that is no.
Steve Cohen?
There's no way that's happening.
Steve Cohen? I mean, he's got to pay Alonzo, too. So.
I don't know. I think Pete's gone.
I mean,
I think Pete's too expensive.
But with Cohen and his coffers, why wouldn't you want to bring him back?
All right, when we come back, we'll do everybody's favorite, fair or foul.
That's just so much money, dude.
So dumb. This is so dumb. I love that our sport gets laughed at by everybody, but our sport makes more money than everybody.
And you don't get injured as much.
Yeah, you don't get it. And it's guaranteed contracts. So, okay, yeah. If you got kids at home, teach them how to play baseball. Coming up next, fair or foul. But first, we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. JR chimes in, our good buddy, our old buddy on this show, JR. My wife is on a plane at PDX leaving for NYC in a few minutes. She texted there were at least 10 Yankee fans that decided to buy tickets last minute for game 5.
Bro, should we do it?
Bro, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's fly from Portland to New York for a game doesn't matter so we can see our team lose.
I hope they lose like 13-0 tomorrow.
I bet you they do. They won't because Cole's on the mound. It'll be a close game. Freddie will go deep in the fifth and it'll be over.
Dude, I swear, the guys that the Dodgers threw out tonight, I don't know.
I hadn't heard of half of them.
I was going to say, had they thrown at all this postseason? Which I'm sure they have.
And the game was pretty close before the seventh inning.
God.
All that aside, we'll throw it over. It's our favorite segment of the entire show. We'll throw this over to our fantastic producer, Jordan Schultzy.
Appreciate you guys. Let's start off with some history. The game.
No,
one,
I love history.
Hey, you're pretty good, dude. Naming all those World Series MVPs.
When the World Series is over, I'm gonna watch Ken Burns baseball.
Yes, I love Ken Burns baseball. Just one of the best things to put on in the background.
I'll give the nod to Ken Burns Vietnam.
As you said, the Dust Bowl is also really good too.
The Dust Bowl.
I mean, anything Ken Burns.
I'm serious. He does the Dust Bowl. It's great.
I didn't know that. That is too funny.
All right, guys.
Like that one doesn't really match up with the other two. Like, oh man, baseball, Vietnam War, and the Dust Bowl.
He also has one called Jazz.
Yeah. Now I'm in a Ken Burns wormhole in my head, and the Jazz one is pretty good too.
Ken Burns wrote an amazing line in baseball. He goes. In baseball, he says, in 1,000 years, United States of America will be remembered for 3 things. The Constitution, jazz music, and baseball.
And the Dust Bowl.
That's what we do. And the Dust Bowl.
Well, Freddie Freeman going to be remembered probably for his big walk-off grand slam in Game 1 of the World Series Dodgers v. Yankees on Friday night, guys. Of course, it did come on the very, very... I cannot believe it came on the anniversary from 1988 of Kirk Gibson hitting a walk-off home run for the Dodgers in Game 1 of that World Series. Pretty big deal over the Oakland Athletics because Kirk was injured. He couldn't really play.
He was the MVP that season.
Yeah, and his legs were just like...
Shot.
I don't know what exactly happened or what the injury was, but he could...
What is he, Anthony Richardson?
He could barely run. Yeah, he needed a breather. He was winded, but anyways...
There's no Flacco on the bench for Kirky.
But anyways, Kirk coming up essentially doing the improbable, hitting a pinch hit, go-ahead home run, swinging with his upper body to give the Dodgers that game one win in the 87 World Series. They did go on to 88, excuse me. They did go on to win the 88 World Series. Of course, 5, 6, 7 years later, that happened on the exact same day. And apparently at the exact same time, 8:37 p.m.
I think it was like, I think I heard it was technically like 4 minutes.
That's difference. What I'm like, there's no way it was the exact same time. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome, but like, you can't say if it's 4 or 5 minutes off. Like,
look, baseball's romantic. But it's not that romantic.
That's too good of a script to write. But guys, I was just thinking of these moments, trying to compare, you know, one of these great moments that we've seen on repeat for our entire lives now, one that we just experienced this last Friday night. Fair or foul? Freeman's walk-off is a bigger moment than Gibson's walk-off.
I'm not going to do the revisionist history and say that it is not as big as Kirk Gibson. I think the call will go down. I mean, the call is great.
Which
alone.
Which one? Vin or Jack Buck? I mean, it's Jack Buck. I don't believe what I just saw.
And the Vin to right field, gone. The simple, yeah.
I think the fist pumps, I mean, the situation, and Kirk Gibson, who has not played, like,
There was a time I saw Kirk Gibson at the grocery store, and he reached for tomatoes that I thought were bad.
And there's Mike Matheny with the bird poop. I have a hard time putting it above the Kirk Gibson home run.
I think I'm with Joe on this, and I think it's because who did Freddie hit it off? Clay Holmes?
Nestor Cortez.
Nestor Cortez, right, yeah. He hit it off Nestor Cortez. Okay.
Yeah, big deal.
Kirk Gibson hit it off Dennis Eckersley. Okay. The first true closer, a guy who changed the game. Like, look. We talk about people and how they change the game, right? Michael Jordan changed how people play basketball, okay? Steph Curry also changed how people play basketball, all right? There are certain guys in this world that might not be the greatest of all time, but they changed how you do things. And Eck changed how you did things. You had a high leverage guy with awesome stuff that you threw in for one inning. And Gibby hit it off X. I want to so badly be able to say that it's Freddie Freeman because it's Dodgers Yankees in 2024 with massive payrolls. But I think I got to be with Joe on this. I think it's Kirk Gibson hobbled Jack Buck. I don't believe Jack Buck has a better World Series call on that home run than Vin Scully, the greatest commentator of all time. And the rounding second as he's hobbling and the fist pump kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's Gibby.
I love it, guys. I think that'll be a good, it's going to be debated for the next like few years, honestly. It'll be a good
question. As long as the Dodgers win the series.
I actually think Joe Carter's home run is bigger than Freddie Freeman's too.
Okay.
Game 7, I mean.
Plus, there's another call there. Touch them all, Joe.
Yeah.
You'll never hit a bigger home run.
That's so true. Oh, man, I just got goosebumps hearing you say
yeah.
that. No, it's so true.
I mean, Edgar down the line.
Ah! Yeah, down the left field line for a base hit. Yeah.
In the American League.
Riffy's gonna score. Ah!
My, oh, my.
How'd that
turn out? Can you believe it?
Now that isn't out yet.
Wow.
And the Yankees still ended up. No, they beat the Yankees, but they still ended up losing anyway.
The Mariners lost to the Tribe.
Yeah, I was like, the Indians. You're damn Indians. All right, fair foul number two. A former Indian, now the Guardians, Grady Sizemore.
Ooh.
The interim manager with the Chicago White Sox.
Fantasy team's called Grady's Ladies.
I love that. A lot of ladies loved Grady's.
Good-looking kid.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the dude. See, he had some shirtless pictures leaked during his career.
Good-looking kid.
Good. It's like, I got to admit, guy's a stud. But he is not going to be considered for the White Sox next manager after they fired Pedro Grifol during the season, had him take over as the interim guy. They are considering three names. Will Venable, the current associate manager for the Rangers, Guardians bench coach Craig Albernaz, or former Angels manager Phil Nevin. Can't believe he is on that list, but fair foul.
Such a tool.
I cannot believe it. Fair foul, Grady Sizemore not being considered as the White Sox next skipper is a huge mistake.
I find it interesting. I find it interesting that he's not. Like, I'm not shocked that he might not get the job. Venable, Cleveland boy, like, they are hot names that people, you know, the Marlins are interested in both of them. But I find it interesting that Sizemore's not there. I wonder if they think he is too much part of Pedro Grifol and why that team is bad. But this is actually a blessing in disguise for Grady, because someone's going to pick him up as a bench coach. He's going to go somewhere. Hell, the Yankees might hire him, you know, to be a guy that's a player, a great player, who had massive injuries. But, you know, I don't think he did a bad job at the end of Chicago. They were toast. What is it that you can do? But I will say, I think it... Repeat the question.
Yeah, fair or foul. Grady will not being considered is a huge mistake by the Chicago White Sox.
I will say fair. I think they should consider him. I don't think he's ready to be a major league manager.
Yeah, not even being on the list, though.
But not being on the list, I think, is a travesty. And good for Grady. Get out of there. Go away. Run away. Run away. As fast as you can.
Jordan, can I get some sources? Some sources on this? Because, I mean, it could have changed within the last month or so. But, I mean, as of late September, the GM of the White Sox was saying he was in consideration for the managerial job.
Yeah, give me just a second here. It was off of MLB trade rumors. Oh, actually, as we click this and talk about this, this just came out via MLBtraderumors.com. Breaking news, the White Sox have reached an agreement to hire Will Venable as manager.
Wow.
This is via Scott Merkin of MLB.com.
Who the hell is Scott Merkin? That sounds made up.
I love how you're just asking for sources literally at the moment I refreshed this story and this came up. It was literally at 10:37 Central, so 6-7 minutes ago.
Here it is. Okay. I mean, Scott Merkin.
I don't know who that guy is, but he's got the news, baby.
All right, well, I see a Jeff Passan tweet, so...
Well, there's a...
why? Someone tell me why, damn it!
Doesn't have to be Passan.
Nah, we ain't taking that!
It's gotta be Passan.
No, stop.
Are you gonna believe something unless Woj or Shams tweets it out?
I mean, I believed it on MLB Trade Rumors. It's been one of my normal sources for years, baby.
Fuck! Do it! Spit on that thing!
Spit all over that news, baby!
Well, I don't know. Do I even answer this?
Yeah, now. I think it's still not even being considered.
Yeah, my phone
mistake.
Just buzzed me. White Sox hiring Will Venable.
Yeah, ESPN just sent it out, too. This is great. Very timely baseball show tonight, guys. I like it.
I'm going to go, I guess foul. Or fair. I don't even know.
You got to consider the guy.
I maybe they did. And now they have considered very much not hiring him.
I know how Will Venable's first season is going to go.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch. And the season's over.
Over under 60 wins.
I don't think even he gets to the first pitch.
Under 60 wins.
Under.
All right, I like that.
That's a 100-loss team written all over it.
Well, good luck there, Willie. All right, guys, last fair or foul. This is kind of a fun one. I was looking at Aaron Judge v. Giancarlo Stanton and their career numbers, of course. Judge hasn't been in the league as long, but he's been hitting a lot of homers in his time. Giancarlo missed a lot of time during his years in the league. Fair or foul? Giancarlo currently sitting at 429 career home runs. Judge sitting at 315. Fair or foul? Judge will finish with more career home runs than Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, what's the age again? Like Judge, he's
32 to 34.
Wow, that's so crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Because when you watch the two of them, it looks like a 10-year gap.
Yep. Well, and when you watch Giancarlo run, I mean, you would think he's 50.
Look, guys, I know we laugh and joke about this, but I'm serious. I think there's a chance I get from second to home faster than Giancarlo.
Possibly.
Like, I know we laugh about, yo, can Alabama beat the Cleveland Browns? You know, like we do this in football and stuff. But, like, I'm telling you, I might beat him from second to home. Now, I am, like, chugging, and I'm probably blowing hammies and throwing up when I'm done, but I think I'm beating him.
I'm going to say fair, because the way – oh, boy, gosh. I say that out loud, and I immediately – like, because the way that the pace that he's on right now, but Giancarlo was on a pace that we thought was going to continue, and then it petered out real quickly.
That's then you're like, well, but Giancarlo got hurt a lot. And you're like, oh, but Judge also gets hurt.
And the thing is, too, is a lot of – I feel like we've seen this over the last few years now where it seems like guys are on this trajectory like, wow, he's going to keep doing this for the next 10 years. And then they don't. And so
Mike
Trout. Dare I say my guy Chris Davis? But again,
Chris with a K.
Yeah.
Oakland A's.
Of course.
Fans.
You're right. Yeah. Oakland that's fans. Obviously what I meant. I mean, it's, it seems like to get these sustained 40 home run seasons, 50 home run seasons, it just isn't happening as much. But Judge definitely does seem like he is a once in a generational type player for this Yankees team. I say that he does. I say he finishes with more home runs.
I'm with Joe. I will say fair, but I'll throw a bonus question to both of you. Fair or foul? Neither get to 500.
Oh, I'm going to say Judge gets to 500.
I'm going to say foul to that because Giancarlo's already at 429.
Yeah, but look at what he looks like right now.
Yeah, but he's still going to be out there hitting a buck 90 because the Yankees have nobody else, and he'll hit 20 home runs.
So Judge is...
But 20, he needs
70
more.
70 more. 71
more.
If he hits 20 for 4 years, he's doing
it. You think Stanton's going to hit 20 home runs for 4 years?
He hit a buck 90 and threw 25 up. He literally does nothing else besides hit whammies.
I'm just asking.
No, I hear you.
He's 34.
He does nothing else but hit whammies.
Judge
and get injured.
Needs 185 more home runs. He's 32, and he is hitting 50 to almost 60 a year.
Bonus. Fair or foul? Who hits more home runs in their career?
I'm going to say Judge.
I mean, well, bonus. That was my original.
That was
question.
The original. I was hoping like, nobody caught that.
Wait, what?
I'm like, wait, hold on a second.
It's like, what was my question then? Hold on.
Nobody caught that. Just trying to be cheeky here. All right, that is fair or foul. We give it up to Jordan every week for him to do that. That was great, buddy. I really appreciate that. We'll come back. We'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot corner, 10 of the fans. So we don't have much time. We got to get here. But Joe and I are having this conversation in the break. I really, really want to, as much as I hate the Oregon Ducks as a Wazoo kid, I do want to thank Oregon for one thing that UW can't do, USC can't do, that Utah's having a bad year, and the Arizona schools and UCLA is a joke. I would like to thank Oregon for walking into the Big Ten, and everybody's like, oh, that physicality, you might not be able to handle that physicality, and they're just as physical. So I would like to thank Oregon for a hot second, even though I still hate your guts, and I hope you lose every game possible. Thank you for reminding the country that there was legitimate football played in the Pac-12.
Yes.
I just asked Joe, how much does Oregon beat Michigan by? And Joe goes, 25. Although I heard some guys say, I think it's going to be a close game. Look, the quarterback at Washington State University can throw the ball 1,000 times better than the reigning national champions quarterback. Yes, their guy got drafted last year, but you have nobody? You have nobody. Cannot complete a forward pass.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure that they are bottom 10 offense statistically in college football.
Yeah, that somebody like UL Monroe has better offense than them.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know nothing about UL Monroe.
Me neither, and I feel bad that I pulled them into this, but I bet you they're better than Michigan.
They're like, how dare you?
Like, literally, you can't
offense.
Throw the ball forward? That's it. That's all we ask of you to do as a quarterback. And you can't do that at Michigan?
And Michigan is, oh man, I think they just escape out of the bottom 10. Six. They are 10th worst offense in college football.
You won the Natty last year. You got pros on that team.
Aw, damn it, UL Monroe. They have the 6th worst offense. Come on, UL Monroe.
Come on, UL Monroe. All right, that'll do it for us. We come back next week. We will have a World Series champion. There's a lot of stuff I've got saved up to get into when the baseball season is over. But we'll recap the World Series. We'll get to that. We'll do all that next week. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. Go do something I would do.